Well, I have a little bit of CEO trivia for you this morning. Did you know that the average CEO in America today is over 6 feet tall, while the average American male is only 5'9"? CEOs in our country are just bigger. Did you know that over the last 30 presidential elections, the taller candidate has won 70% of the time? Did you know, according to new research, for every inch of height you have, that translates into an extra $789 per year in base salary? Which means even when you control for things like age and gender and race, the average 6-foot-tall employee will make $5,500 more per year than their 5-foot-5 coworker. Now, why is this? Why is it that taller people are more successful in our country today? Is it because taller people are smarter? Better looking, more charming, charismatic? We can all agree that 6'4" is the best height for a leader in America today. Am I correct? Well, maybe not. In fact, maybe this is just one of those biases we have without realizing it. Maybe we simply look at larger individuals and we're attracted to them, so we give them opportunity, we invest resources in them, and then, of course, they get ahead. Maybe whether we want to admit it or not, we all just like bigger things. And yet, if you read the Bible, you'll see that God does not share this bias. In fact, most of what gets done in the Bible does not come through big people. Instead, it comes through little people. Which is to say, God accomplishes most of God's work through diminutive heroes. The rest of the world may have forgotten these individuals, but God sees them. God anoints them for a holy purpose. God gives them a high calling. That's why this August we're beginning a new sermon series we're calling Little People of the Bible. It's a sermon series where we are going to look at some of these forgotten saints. We're going to be reminded what God has accomplished through them. Now, this is not a sermon series where we're going to be talking about kings or prophets. This is a sermon series where we will be talking about, well, you. Ordinary. Everyday. Little people of faith who want to make a difference. And our very first story this morning of a little person in the scriptures comes from a little book of the Bible, and that, of course, is the book of Esther, and it is the story of Mordecai, an average Jew living in exile, someone from the smallest tribe of Israel, who is asked to save his people. We're going to revisit the story that Sarah just read, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. All the way back in the spring of 1934, a 24-year-old sharecropper from North Carolina named Albert McMakin hopped into his pickup truck and began driving throughout his community, picking up young people to take to church that evening. You see, Albert had recently converted to the Christian faith. And ever since his conversion, he was convicted that he needed to do something good with his life. He needed to make a difference in his world. But the problem was, he had no idea how to do it. He had no idea what difference to make. You see, really what he wanted to be was a person of impact in the community, and what he lacked were resources. Albert was poor. He was uneducated. He was underemployed. The only thing of value he had in his life was that old pickup truck, and, well, you can't exactly expect a pickup truck to change the world. Albert McMakin wanted to make a difference with his life. He just didn't know how to do it. The world's problems, they seemed too big. He felt too small. And that, of course, is one of the problems with the world. And sometimes it feels as if the challenges of the world are simply above our pay grade, and we have no idea how to fix it. I mean, we look at the world, we read the papers, we see the news, we know something needs to change. We're just not sure what we can do about it. After all, remind me, what exactly is your plan for fixing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict these days? You guys know how to solve that one, don't you? Or what about healthcare? What tweaks are you going to make to the healthcare system to make sure everyone can have affordable care in our community? You've got a plan for that too, don't you? You're a Christian. You want to make a difference. So how are you going to end racism, sexism, classism, ageism, ableism, anti-Semitism, or any other ism out there? You've been working on that this summer, haven't you? Sometimes it feels like the world's problems are just too big. We feel too small. We're not sure what to do. See, Mordecai knew that his world had problems. He knew the people of Israel were facing challenges that they had never faced before. For over 100 years, the people of Israel had been living in exile. For over 100 years, they had been under the oppressive thumb of a tyrant king. And now God's people were facing their greatest challenge yet. A king had issued a religious decree that all the Jews should be exterminated. And there was nothing Mordecai could do to stop it. I mean, let's be honest, Mordecai did not have the influences or resources to change the law. There was nothing he could do to prevent that religious decree from being enacted. The only thing he had was a little cousin, and of course, you can't expect someone's cousin to change the world. That decree was not something Mordecai could fix, but the story says he did what he could do. He used what resources he did have, and of course, he trusted that God would do the rest. And maybe that's what faith is. At the end of the day, maybe faith is simply us doing the best with whatever we have been given and trusting that somehow, some way, God can handle the rest. You see, Albert McMakin didn't have a lot of money or education, or influence in the community. But he did have a truck. So every weekend, he drove that truck throughout his town, picking up young people, taking them to church week after week, month after month, year after year. It wasn't much that he could offer, but God said it was enough. What he was doing, it was enough. In fact, the story goes, one day Albert went to pick up a 16-year-old boy to take him to a revival. The boy wasn't sure he wanted to go to the revival. He wasn't all that sure that was a place for him, but he eventually agreed once Albert allowed him to drive the truck to church that evening. That night at the revival, the boy said he felt his heart strangely warmed. Next night, he showed up again, this time upon his own accord. And he made a commitment that his life would be different. He knew that his life needed to change from that point on, and it did. So for the next 79 years, that boy preached the gospel to 215 million people. And for the next 8 decades, that boy went on to 185 different countries, consulted with 13 different presidents, wrote 33 different books. That 16-year-old fought apartheid and fought for civil rights, and he changed the world. And why? It was all because Albert McMakin stopped by the Graham household one afternoon and let a 16-year-old drive his truck. Yes, there are some problems in this life that you cannot fix. But then again, there are some problems you can. There are some people whose life you can change with the resources you have. And no, maybe you're not Billy Graham. Maybe you don't have access to presidents or kings or Supreme Court justices. Maybe all you have is a truck and a desire to do good, and God says that's enough. God says that will always be enough. Who knows, Mordecai said to Esther, who knows? Perhaps you have come to your royal dignity for such a time as this. Now, Mordecai could not save everyone in exile. He didn't have that kind of influence. But he could save Esther. He could save Esther from her indifference. He could save Esther from her fear. He could remind Esther that God had anointed her for this very moment. God had equipped her for this high calling. Mordecai sacrificed for her so that she could sacrifice for God's people. So she confronted a king, and she prayed for mercy, and she saved a nation, and it was all because of a cousin that refused to give up. Yes, I know this world has its issues, and I know it can get frustrating at times. And please believe me, I recognize there are some problems in this world that you don't have the answer to. There are some issues that are way above your pay grade. But I hope you never forget that your life matters. What you do, it matters. You are light and salt for this world around us, and it just takes a little bit of light, just a little bit to drive out the darkness. I hope you realize you make a difference. Week after week, month after month, year after year, you transform the lives of those around you, and you give of yourself, and God says it's enough. It will always be enough. So don't lose faith. Don't lose faith in the difference you are making. And remember, for such a time as this, you have been called. And it's enough. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we pray that you would take whatever we have to offer and you would multiply it. Like loaves and fish, you would consecrate our effort. And you would bless others with it. Grant us such faith as to say yes to the calling you have placed on our heart. And such confidence to know that you are at work. In us and through us and alongside us. God, bless us in this holy work. Amen.